Started. Welcome. Call the meeting to order. And thank you for our first item on the agenda. So we're going to get the finance report from Karen.
Yep.
Okay. The finance report is as of December, so we're halfway through our fiscal year. And we're still reporting on the preliminary budget. And I'll update you a little bit after I report on this as to where we're going with the final budget. So as of the end of December, revenues collected are just under 86%. And what came in during the month of December was mostly the local school district receipts. They paid up to 95% of their billings by the end of December. And then you receive some small state funding, and you also received $50,000 in an additional federal fund Title II grant. And then on the expense side, you're at just a little over 50% of budget, and you know, pretty much right where we would expect you to be at this point in time. I'll give you a little update on what's happening now. In January, you'll get most of the rest of your state revenue, and the other 5% of the local funds has already come in January. So by the end of January, you'll be closer to 100% of your revenue, other than your donations and your CSP grant. The final state revenue as of right now exceeds the budget by just under $5,000. I think you're pretty much finished with all of your certification of teachers, so that should be a pretty firm number. And your local revenue is totally finalized, and that came in $133,000 over budget. So I think the next steps include working with Robert to get you to your final budget with the different revenue changes that you've had, and I think you've also had some minor changes in staffing and a couple of other things with expenses that we'll need to look at. Hopefully we can get that together by February, which is pretty standard when all the charter schools are going to be approving their final budgets. So that's an overview of anybody has any questions or wants any more detail.
Yeah, Karen, it's Jeff. Any reason why we came in $135,000 above budget on the local?
Can you hear?
Which line? It garbled a little bit, Jeff. Which line?
The local funds that we came in over budget, which is a positive variance.
But in doing the preliminary budget, which was done like last May or June, we did not have the final revenue numbers from the districts, nor the Christina settlement, so we used very conservative numbers. We used last year's values, knowing that they should go up, but that's one of those numbers that can go either way until you get the final numbers over the summer as to what the districts are going to be paying you. You also had, I don't know how much Rick told you about what was going on with the local revenues at the state level. The Department of Education had reworked the formulas and got more money to the charters that were obviously legitimately yours. The districts were not being consistent in how they calculated their per pupil values and what they included in the revenues. And this year you got 50% of those formula changes, and over the next 2 years you'll get the other 50% of the increase in revenue.
Doesn't sound like it.
I think
think that's it, Karen.
Okay.
So we need to...
So you'll just need to approve your web report.
I make a motion to approve your web report.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you, Karen.
Okay.
Thank you,
thanks,
Karen.
Karen.
All right, thanks. Let me know if you need anything.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
You know I will.
Everybody needs to keep their eye on that $390,000 number for contributions. And to date in hand, we have what? Did we mention at the last meeting, Chichester DuPont, I forget, but they agreed to give us $25,000, which is really good. So we have $25,000 from Lapis and Q, $25,000 from Chichester DuPont, $170,000 in the CSP grant. I think we've worked these numbers, so we've had also some individual contributions that have come in. So we need about another $180,000 to hit that number. And I've been taking a good look at the numbers through November, and if we reach that $180,000 number, we'll break even for this year, which would be really, really good. And that was before I heard about this positive development from the local school district. So just for all you to remember, this was the year we took the extra rent, you know, the additional floor. This was always going to be a hard year. But if we could break even for this year, that would be really good. Because then next year, we're going to fill in with more students. And, you know, it just would be extremely positive. So we just need to keep our eye on that number. And all my comments.
And I just add, because you've got Mike McGregor on here as fundraising under finance after Karen. Mike's not here today. He's taking a rare day off. Almost unprecedented for him. We had a good development call earlier today, and Kia, I guess you and Mike had a great dinner with there last week, and we determined that we are in fact eligible for an application to Longwood. So I think that should address not only whatever development needs we have for this year, but give us a nice sort of cushion going into the coming year, as well as the 21st Century grant that was submitted earlier this month. So I think there's some good upside that we're likely to see in the next 3 months.
Great, thank you. Now just a few housekeeping items. We'll jump back before we do the head of school report. If everybody's had a chance to look at the meeting minutes from last meeting, which I guess was in November.
Seems a long time ago.
It does seem like a long time ago. I was fine with the meeting minutes. I'll make a motion to approve those, unless there's any other discussion that we need to have.
Second.
Here's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
One other housekeeping item for our web report. I know Sarah had sent an email, a couple of emails out. Just a reminder that if you have not done your training, did you get your issues resolved?
I did email.
We're 3 months in.
I emailed when you sent me that question.
Right.
I emailed the state, and they're usually the person I email about the finance
nothing.
Training usually gets back to me right away, and I haven't heard
not really.
So.
And it was before.
Yeah.
The deadline.
Right. All right. So.
The deadline runs every month, so they nick us every month that we have not met the financial training.
Yeah.
I got a list with maybe 6 or 7 names on it, including the CBOC members.
Right. And I think we've whittled some of that down, but there's still a fair amount. But,
yeah,
so we need to make sure that we
the
get
list also included my name, but, and I took it.
Yeah. Well, I'll work on who's not on it. But my thought is why don't we just kill this by having a date where we come in here and just everyone sits in here and we knock it out, and I will volunteer to watch your kids for the 2 hours that you're here for the financial training. So... just seems like we're so much effort's going into individually trying to do it. Why don't we just go a different direction and just have a day we all come in here and get it done?
Well, I think part of it is you have to log in individually, though, to get the certificate, right?
Right. So you have to have an IMS account. So that's what's happening is that people are having a hard time setting up their IMS accounts. I don't know if that's something we can look into also.
I was going to say,
I didn't have a problem.
So when I set it up, when I sent my email, followed the instructions that were in that email, sent it in, it took a couple of days for me to get it back.
Yeah. I will say, us working with IMS is, it sometimes is really, it just really depends sometimes. But I think we can look into, because Patrick couldn't get his IMS account working.
Nikki just got it fixed today, and she's been working on it for several weeks now. So.
And he used to be one of the administrators over it. So.
And mine was before October. Okay. When we said that.
All right, so why don't we do this? You have a list of all the names. I have it in the meet in the report, too. So I think let's just check on all the IMS accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, but we can still set. I think if there's a date that everybody wants to come in, I just need them to fix it though, because I'm not doing it again.
I'll get that done.
Okay.
But it's like every time you go down there to talk with Denise or the Secretary of Education, it's like that's all you hear. You know, you guys in your financial training, you know, so you really should try to get it done.
And given some of the things we're trying to do, we need to make sure that we're above board on everything. So we want to.
We do it this time next Monday, just like we're, you know.
Well, what I'm hearing is we can't do it that way.
No, we can. I was just.
You have to bring their own computer. You have to have your own computer.
But if you don't have the IMS login, then you wouldn't be able to.
So that's what I'll try to get it set up so we have everybody's login. Would a Monday night work best?
The only issue with doing it at that time, Jeff, is that if there are issues, it wouldn't be able to be addressed until...
Yeah, well, I'm planning on having the person who runs the program online to make sure there's no issues.
There you go.
That'll work.
So does Monday night, is that the best for everybody?
Just scheduled like this time, you know, since we already have this kind of Monday meetings.
Okay, I'll try to work for next Monday, or how about 2 Mondays out?
Whatever.
It'll be the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Try
it
for next Monday.
Okay, I'll try to get it done.
Same time, so 5:30?
Okay, next Monday. We'll work on
it. Okay, I'll send out a calendar invite.
I'm just...
Now, if we've already taken it, we're good for a year, right?
More than a year.
Okay. Yeah, you're good for 3 years, I believe.
Yeah. So either you get it done before then, or you come Monday night.
Well, right. And if some emergency comes up, you're going to have to do it yourself, but we need to get it done.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. And then one of the other things that'll be on the agenda for the spring at some point will be our board training from, I think we'll have Jim come in and do that from Saul Ewing. So.
What do they need for that, like 2.5 hours?
I'll check with them. I think a couple of hours. Yeah. Try and do that soon. Okay. And then I guess moving on, we'll turn the time over to Kim.
Good, great. So a couple of spotlights. The first one before we get into Aladdin is Adopted Family, and I'll let Jordan and Nikki talk about that.
So this year we raised over $4,000. We're very excited. Thank you to all of our donors.
Thank you so much.
And we were able to award 12 families with gifts of their choice. It was really, really awesome. This year was actually the first year where I'd say a majority of the families, shed tears. So everyone's always been very grateful, but this year in particular, we also did it a different way, in the way we reached out to the families. They were just, it was beyond rewarding how grateful the families were. They sent us pictures of the students on their holiday mornings, and it was really wonderful this year. Fantastic.
And Nikki and Jordan did a great job of just coordinating everything and getting everybody's gift list and making sure everybody got new. So thank you both again.
Got some families in Xbox. That was really nice. Refurbished. I'm glad we could do that.
And then also last weekend, any of you know, we had our production of Aladdin.
Yay!
And it was awesome. Okay. We had the packed house both nights. I just have some quick highlights, and these are from my cell phone, so they are not like. And I had to sneak them because they were being really, really, really rigid about, you know, the last time. I didn't want to get in trouble, but it was just amazing. Everybody that came, it was like it was awesome. Beyond anything you could have ever hoped for.
So that's a picture of Jaden and Jared Hayes. Jaden is actually Crystal's nephew, and Jared is he's the son of the principal of Del Castle. And that's them, Jafar and Yako. They stole the show. That's a whole cast picture.
Oh my God, great costume.
They were just amazing. The costumes were incredible. And I have a really, really quick, brief video from one of the moments on stage.
I like the effect. That's great.
So my carpet is actually a kid.
Yep.
And he was amazing, Carpenter.
He was a good
carpenter. He was
nice. So, I mean, and it was just great. The kids worked so hard on it. The snow days, we actually ended up having to push the production back a week because the snow days had prevented them from being able to rehearse. But it was really, really a great moment. And to just see the development in the kids and their growth. It's like a really great reminder of why we're here and why we're doing this. So it was a good, really good time.
You need something really good.
Oh, okay. All right. Going into student recruitment and enrollment, I'll let Patrick hit that.
Yes. So we've been having continued to have bi-weekly open house events. The next one is coming up on Thursday. Our new families are really excited to hear about the high school. So we had the last open house we had, it was all sixth grade families, but they were really, really excited to hear some of the details about the new high school. So that was very exciting. We're on track at this point. We have about the same, actually the identical number of applications as we had at this point last year. So in terms of applications, we're right where we need to be. The commitment window just opened up last week. So far we've received 4 commitments. On Thursday, we expect to get, you know, a dozen or so more. So we're doing good in that department. And then we also, before Thanksgiving, started the re-enrollment process where we send home forms to students and ask their parents to let us know whether or not they'll be coming back. And about 98% of the re-enrollment forms that have been returned have showed that the students are planning on coming back to the school.
So
three were a no. And we've also had...
most of those eighth graders?
They're all over. Yeah.
2 6th grade and 1 7th
grade.
Are
you saying are mostly no, not coming back? No, we haven't received any news from 8th graders. Maybe the yes is only.
Okay. And then three former students who are currently in the 8th grade have reached out to me to ask if they could return because they're struggling so much at their current schools. One of the young ladies just started back today.
Mm-hmm.
And another young lady, we are in the process of trying to get her transferred back as well.
So in their situations, the young lady that started today, her father passed away mid-year last year. So because of custodial changes, she had to change schools. Because we're having a really, really tough time, so it was coming back. Well, it's back. The second student that's trying to come back now, she actually left because she thought that our expectations were too high, and if I'm being really transparent, she's a white student, and she didn't feel like there were enough white students at our school. But her mother, she said she's failing all of her classes, and she wants her to come back now, begging us to let her come back now.
Does the state give us a hard time about re-enrolling students?
No, the state doesn't give us a hard time about re-enrolling students. Honestly, we're full, and it is a hard thing for our teachers to take on kids, especially at this point in the year.
Yeah.
It's a little different when it's a student that's, you know, this is a case that's unique because they've been with us. But, we're working through the process.
Do we get reimbursements from the state?
So that's what we would have.
Mrs. Johnson is making sure that we do.
Absolutely.
I mean, we paid one out this year, so.
Yeah. So, yes.
These 70 applications that you have received 4 commitments, how many more would you need to get commitments to fill your classrooms?
So I think we're slated to take in 105 for next year.
So the income for the high school? No, for incoming 6th grade. Yeah.
Well, I can't say. You know, my boys usually go to Sally's. Zion is going to Great Oaks.
Just want to say.
Yes.
Her boys have all gone to Sally's,
yes,
and
Zion is staying at Great Oaks.
Yes, he is.
That's a big deal.
Yes,
that's a big deal.
Jaden, my nephew, is staying at Great Oaks.
And they live in the Brandywine School District. Both of them are residents in the Brandywine School District.
Yes, so we will be returning for those 4 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Hope they pulled this recording up tonight. Right.
They are staying.
Can you sort of explain for Jim, because remember, he's a new board member, the whole process of recruiting, signing up?
Yeah, absolutely. So the application season is from November to January. And then at the beginning of January, families are allowed to commit, sign a commitment contract for the following school year. The last 3 years, we've reached full enrollment, or like the total number of commitments we need, by like the middle of summertime. So this is like the very early stages of the process. Like I said, it takes until summertime before we actually fill up all the spots that we have available.
And the reason for that is because the deadline doesn't necessarily align with kind of like when people actually begin thinking about schools for their students. November is a really early time to open up that deadline, but that's just how it is. So we see a huge influx around April. Because that's when parents are starting to really actively think about, okay, what is my student going to do next year? And then again, at the end of the school year, when like those final report cards come out, and that's why we're doing a lot of this work in the summer.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Looking at student support services, I talked a lot about the guidance counselor at our last meeting. She's here working, hit the ground running, and she brought in an organization called YOLO, and they did a presentation for our students on gun violence that went over really well last Friday. Looking at academics, MAP testing is currently in progress from today until Thursday. We have report card conferences for the second quarter on Friday, all day. Benchmark testing will be happening from the 12th through the 15th. So at our February meeting, we'll be able to report out on the benchmark data. And something that I'm really excited about is that Jordan and I will be going to visit the Springboard Collaborative. So that is an initiative that we will hopefully be able to use if we get the 21st Century Grant, that we'll be able to use some of that grant towards summer literacy work for our students. And the program typically addresses students that are in third and fourth grade, but they are actually willing to work with us and develop a middle school curriculum that's tailored towards students that are several grade levels behind, which we have, you know, a critical mass of. And some of their impact data, as I put here, is that typically in the 5 weeks of the summer, you know, students tend to regress because they're out of school for approximately 3 months. Springboard Scholars have demonstrated growth of a little over 3 months. So not only are they stopping the regression, they're actually growing. So it's kind of like doubling the impact of the reading literacy that's happening throughout the school year. And it's a great opportunity for our teachers because they actually train our teachers. So it would be methods that we'd be able to replicate throughout the school year. They also have after school options. So we're going to visit, and then if we decide that we want to implement it in the summer, we would do like a test run in the summer and then to make a decision. We can make a decision at the end of the summer whether or not we want to do an after school initiative throughout the school year. And the other really great component is that they train families. So there has to be a family member that commits to that summer participation, and they give families literacy strategies to support their students so that they kind of get wraparound literacy support, which is awesome because really kind of at the foundation of all of the gaps that we see in our students, it really always kind of boils down to literacy, and that's what kind of fuels the other gaps that we see. So trying to tackle that really big one and think that it will give us a lot of gain. And it'll be an awesome thing for our incoming students because we typically see at least 20% of them coming in more than two grade levels behind. So being able to have something that we can, you know, get them started with right away in regards to that deficit will be really, really important.
What kind of commitment for the families is required?
Yeah, so they have to have a family member that commits to, what they call it is an engaged family member or supporter. So there's like an initial orientation that they have with them before the summer starts. And then there's multiple workshop opportunities throughout the 5 weeks. They're not all like mandatory, but you know, just acknowledging that you need a family member to be engaged in this process of supporting your reading development, I think is important, and I think it'll be helpful. And usually students that are involved in summer initiatives over the summer have at least one person that cares about them and would be willing to work with them and support them. Facilities. Michael Maxwell and I had dinner with Linda Jennings, CEO of the building, the board chair at Coomba, Joan Coker, and the head of school at Coomba, Sally. And we had a lot of rich discussion around kind of the high priority things that the CEB and us as a community education building are working on together. Some of the major takeaways, and I actually included the entire PowerPoint that we went through for your review. It's here. Definitely won't go through the entire thing tonight, but you all please can feel free to look at it at your leisure. Big, huge takeaways were there were just some general community partner updates. So we are on the horizon of bringing Springfield College in, just working on some kinks around the availability of their interns, and that will be a counseling partnership. The University of Delaware nurse practitioners, so we're again working on like implementation kinks, figuring out when they will actually start on site. And the other one is Springboard Collaborative, which we're at that, what I just described, we're also going to be collaborating with Coomba in the training and development of the teachers. Looking at the lease renewal process, so fun updates there. For the 2018-19 school year, there will be a 3% increase to the rent, and we are accepting we are accepting of that, but that is an upcoming.
Is that in the terms of the lease?
Yeah, the lease agreement, the original lease agreement has, and most leases have a provision like that. That
there's an escalator.
Yeah, there's an escalator.
Yeah. And then
I haven't looked at our lease in particular for a while, but that's my recollection.
Yeah.
If you look at the slides where it says the dream, there's some early blueprint outlines of what the athletic facility would look like. There is the timeline on the athletic facility is further down the line now, so it's looking like it might be probably 2 years at least out before it's something that we can use, but they are still working aggressively on the outdoor space, which they do think would be available for use by the next school year. And then the overview of multiple measures and definition of international excellence. So as you all know, in the lease agreement, there is a data sharing clause, so we need to be sharing with the building how our students are performing. The original lease did speak to closing the achievement gap by 2020. They've pushed that to 2030, so we've got an additional 10 years to get it done. But also talking, we're having like a lot of conversations around like what does it actually mean to be excellent internationally, and we're kind of coming up with our own working definition and our own metrics that we're going to measure that will include a lot of other things outside of the Smarter Balance scores, because that's not the only measure that we'll be able to show that our school is improving, that we're effectively serving kids. So having Linda kind of be the driver of that is really, really great, because having school leadership experience, she knows a lot of those challenges. So she's working with the board. She's playing as the liaison between us and the board to really make sure that they're, like, it's not a situation where if you don't hit the numbers by this date, then you're out of the building. I don't know if there's anything you want to add based on the conversations.
No, I think that's right. The one thing I would call your attention to for the international excellence is the definition on the very back page of the
So if you all recall back in the spring, Jordan and I were participating in a collective of private and public and charter school leaders. So we all collectively worked on this definition together over the course of the entire year, multiple meetings where we kind of like reworked this definition. So that's where we are now. Linda's actually going to join us at a future meeting to talk a little bit about it more in depth. So I don't think we have to have discussion around it now, but I did want to make sure that you all had laid your eyes on it before she does come to present to us. And one of the things that we suggested is that because this is going to be the definition that both schools are going to be holding themselves accountable to, that when we review this definition and Linda presents, that we do it as a joint board meeting, so in addition to Coomba's board being present as well. And we'll have updates on dates and times and all of that.
They actually did purchase the lot across the street where the radio station was?
They purchased that lot, yeah.
And the one that says the North Market Street, 0.4 miles, where is that?
0.4 miles on Market Street, I don't know. It's she references it a lot, but I can't, I don't know the exact location. High school planning, super excited to have our courses outlined already for dual enrollment. So students will be able to select from Philosophy 101, Freshman Seminar, which is great because it is it takes the form of like a University 101 that you have at every college and university, but they are tailoring it toward Great Oaks Wilmington's core values. So we'll be working with the dean of their like freshman studies department to develop a course that is available for college credit, but it's kind of preparing them for high school and in the context of what you need to be doing now to be college ready by the time you graduate. And computer literacy, which we're really excited about because all of our students really have the skills on, you know, computer skills that it would take to be in a college level course. And we think that that's one that all students would be able to comfortably access. Because and acknowledging that as the years, as they matriculate, some of the courses like the maths and the English that'll be available, every student won't necessarily be ready for the rigors of. We're excited that like Freshman Seminar and Computer Literacy are ones that we would feel comfortable having all students participate in. And we have an upcoming high school open house on February 2nd, which is exciting. Staffing, so it's that time of year. I had a meeting this week with our Director of Talent and Recruitment at the Foundation, Manny. Just so you're aware, we do currently have two teachers on notice. And that just means that they are not meeting all of the marks according to the teacher effectiveness rubric. They both have dates at the end of this month to revisit and reevaluate their progress on their specific areas of development. Right now, it's looking like they'll probably end up making it through that checkpoint of January for one of them, and the other one we may not have after that conversation. Fortunately, it's a content area where it's a language, and we have a contingency plan where we would not need to hire a teacher in the mid-year. We would just be able to finish the year and then be planning for next year to replace them in the event that
and with our core leaders in Relay like planning on doing electives fourth marking period, it would actually be very smooth.
Yeah, it would be a really smooth transition that wouldn't disrupt students' course schedules. But we're really hoping that in the next 8 days or so, we see it's minimal movement that needs to happen. So it's definitely possible. But there's the one teacher will definitely make it through to the end of the year. But the other one is a little up in the air right now. But being observed daily, getting real-time coaching in the classroom, consistent feedback, very, very clear and explicit areas of development and changes that need to happen. So if we don't get there, it won't be for a lack of support and intervention and trying.
So I'll update at the next meeting on that.
By the way, he has a huge advantage that you guys have as a charter school versus city schools or other school districts where they cannot make those changes once a teacher has been hired and has been around for a little bit of time. So it's very good that you guys are very good and proactive about that.
Yes, thank you. Thinking about next year, we have posted job descriptions for every content area, and we've done that intentionally and strategically because we want to be building up a pipeline early for every content area in the event of any unforeseen departures. But we currently only have 9th grade math and 9th grade science open because all of the other vacancies that we have internal candidates through Relay and through our tutor corps that we are able to fill them. So we're very fortunate to be in a really solid place. We'll have an even more clear picture as of February. We are issuing intent to return forms on the 15th. So teachers will let us know if they are leaving for any reason. And we'll make hiring decisions based on that information. The intent to return, though, is really explicit that this is for you to tell us your intention. If we decide, based on performance that we're going to make other decisions, this is not a binding agreement. We have, one teacher has actually informed us that she will be moving back to California at the end of the year. One of our special education teachers that was with us from the beginning is going back to California at the end of the school year, but she let us know already. And really fortunately, one of our tutors that was in the first corps, who was amazing, went to Nevada with Teach for America after her first year here to teach special education and reached out to us because she wants to come back. So we're able to bring her back and fill in that role. So it's really positive. Also have two other former tutors from year one that have taken on teaching positions somewhere else and are interested and have applied formally to come back for French and English as well. We don't currently have any English vacancies, but we're going to see what's possible. But that's just great that people want to come back. I think it says a lot about the environment that's being created here and the incredible work that everybody's doing. So, snaps to you all. I don't have anything else. No, I do not.
Could I ask you a question? When Yola came to Gun Violence Assembly, do they also talk about active shooter? Do you guys have a...
So they would not be the people to talk about that. We talk about it all the time. Now, the building is very secure. Nikki does a fantastic job organizing our emergency plans, and we have monthly fire drills. We have active shooter drills. I think maybe once every 2 months or something like that. And we're required by the state to have, you know, ERIP monitors our compliance in those areas, and we've been fully compliant. We actually got a certificate and a sticker for our compliance in those issues at the end of the year. It's on my wall, Homeland Security. So and the students do a really great job with those. It helps to be in the CEB also.
Yeah, it's a very secure building, so yeah. It's well done.
But yes, we do have those drills.
I think the YOLO surprised the kids because I think they were just like, oh, we have another assembly about something. What the information traveled all the way back to 40 in Austin. And it was like, oh my gosh, I thought it was going to be like, just another assembly. And it was so much information. I'm like, are you spitting out statistics? So I just talked about it like, oh my gosh, I did you know? And I'm like, yeah, I knew that. But
now you know that.
Really thought it was just my friends and I all talking. I'm thinking that's probably the whole school. Really, really, really liked it.
He enjoyed it.
He said it was very informative.
We were nervous because it's a very sensitive issue, but it's one that's super relevant for our kids, unfortunately.
And I think because they gave Wilmington statistics.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't
so
like some abstraction.
Yeah, he was like, did you know Wilmington? I was like, yeah. All right, this is what we're trying to test. So, yeah, it was really great. And the Grab Middle School students, it's like pulling teeth.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they were all sucked in because it was focused in on
it.
That's
not just eighth new.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to get an update on the property. Do we need to go to executive session? Or are we okay with?
Do you want to shut the?
Yeah. So we'll make a motion to move into executive session to discuss the real estate negotiations and the possible acquisition of the buildings. All right, so we're back from executive session. We don't have anything to vote on as a board right now. The only other thing on the agenda now is any other business that we need to discuss. If anybody has anything else, then I say we make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
We're adjourned.